What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I just made an interesting observation about myself, my recent habits. That I've been talking to Bulldog about here for the last 5 minutes. Everything I'm reading and watching is like murder related. It's either real life crime stories or it's only murders in the building, which is kind of a spoof, but still like the word murder's literally in the title.
Right.
I'm watching this Traitors now on Peacock, which is like a reality show where people get killed, but not for real, just like they get killed off the show, basically.
Okay.
I don't know. If anybody's watching me, I might need to spend a week watching The Office or something.
Yeah, right.
Just to offset.
Just get...
Yeah. I have no violent tendencies at all.
Yeah.
But everything I'm consuming is like dark, Civil War.
Yeah, wow.
JFK. I don't know. Somebody's got to... Please help me. That's what I'm saying right now. Anybody could suggest something light. What happened to Chopped? We used to watch Chopped.
It does feel like this is a time of the year where you could fall into that. Sort of like how I only listen to Radiohead in the fall and winter. Like, it's dark. It's a dark time.
Chopped, by the way, is not a good idea. It's actually called Chopped. Maybe that's not even going to fix this.
Yeah, maybe not.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, Bills and Ravens on Sunday. Sal, I don't know... But you often do interviews like around the country, visiting team stuff, whatever. I was on in Baltimore today, Kansas City tomorrow. Are you, if you are, or even if you're just listening to or reading the back and forth, is there like a certain feature about this game, an angle is a better word, an angle about this game that you're finding yourself talking about the most that might not be like obvious or anything like that? Today, going on in Baltimore, it was how I like that they sort of knew this, that the Bills were down key players on their defense in the first meeting and how that, I'm like, they should be asking Sal this question, not me, because like the tactics there. I don't know, anything like this that's sort of coming up in your conversations or what you're reading like the most?
Yeah, first of all, I will tell you that I've done 2 Baltimore spots this week. I have another one scheduled for tomorrow. Portland radio I was on this morning, actually Portland, Oregon, they reached out, had to decline our guys in Edmonton guys. You know, we've all done a little bit of Edmonton here and there, you know what I mean? Had to decline them. And I think Toronto a couple spots this week. There's been a big week for out of market radio, you know, reaching out. It just, you know, that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, when you're this time, I think in Boston, Adam Kaufman, he has me on in Boston. Sometimes I was on with him earlier this week. That's more of a betting show too. I would say that you're right, that has happened, but more towards the end of the week. I think the reason why people are asking that question from the Baltimore angle is because we keep bringing it up, to be honest with you,
right.
Which is like, they early in the week, I was not asked about like that. It was more me saying, well, I guess it was, hey, what's changed about the Bills since week 4? I'm like, well, they didn't have these 3 guys. Oh, and then later in the week, it's become more of a talking point from the Ravens side of how, okay, well, we know the Bills, people are saying this about you know, their team. I would say the biggest thing I get asked is like how confident are the Bills to be able to stop this Ravens offense since they weren't able to do it last time? Like, that's really like what's the feeling around the Bills and around the team? It feels to me like Baltimore media is kind of saying, well, they got, which is true, they got handed it to them last time. They have to be feeling like, oh my God, here we go again. Are they feeling any different this time around? That's kind of been the tenor to me.
And that has produced, it feels to me like the way a lot of us sound, I include, you know, hosts in this too, but a lot, I feel like Derrick Henry is like becoming Paul Bunyan or something as this game is approaching. Right. Like he's actually 6'8" and 360 pounds. And like, you just never seen anything like him. And like, I'm over here going like, yeah, I recognize it. All right. I'll shut up about running backs don't matter, but I still want to raise my hand and go, he's still a running, it's just a running back. Like, I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson in this game than I am Derrick Henry, honestly.
So, worried about is a really interesting way to put it. Jeremy put a really good poll up yesterday about this, and I saw the responses. Most voted, you know, Derrick Henry. So the way I put it is, I don't know, worried is that here, I think you have to stop Derrick Henry first. That's what I think. Because I think that at least then you have a chance to make the game one-dimensional. Then you can control the game on your terms a little bit more. It is not because Lamar Jackson isn't so dynamic as Derrick Henry. He is. He's phenomenal. He can do more than Derrick Henry, of course. He can run. He can throw. If you stop Lamar Jackson, you can still hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, of course. I mean, I guess maybe I'm talking in circles here, but the way I look at it is, if the Baltimore Ravens just get to a point in the game where they go, hey, we just can't really run the ball with Derrick Henry, I just think that plays well more into the Buffalo Bills' hands than if you say we have to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson first, because I think if you don't stop Derrick Henry, it could be a long day from the get-go.
Well, if you don't stop Derrick Henry, what you may end up doing is playing a lot of the game, a lot more of the game than you'd like to, without one of your best defenders on the field. Right? Because if Henry's getting off on them from the start, then, you know, you're going to be tempted either, if you haven't started with Dorian Williams on the field, you're going to want to get him out there sooner than you would have. If he starts, you might, you know, maybe it's not working, you'll just say, forget it, let's just go back to our regular defense. No one knows what they're doing or something. I don't know. But that to me is a key piece of the puzzle here too. Like, getting them to throw, to feel like they need to throw, would work for the Bills because it would allow them back into their comfort zone. I think, like, Taron Johnson on the field,
right?
And here we go. Let's just play like we normally play.
This is it's the Taron Johnson conundrum, right? It's what it is, and we all know that. Here's what I think though. I think the Buffalo Bills, you know, Taron Johnson is so good, and it's not like they haven't played big running backs and bigger teams without Taron Johnson before. He's done that, and we all know that it's a size advantage for the Baltimore Ravens. My prediction is when the Ravens get the ball in their first possession and it's first and 10 at the 30-yard line, you're going to see Taron Johnson on the field. Now, unless they say we're just going with all big people and no wide receivers, right? That might change a little bit because the Bills have to counter with that. But I think you're going to see Taron Johnson. I think you'll see Taron Johnson on the field until the Bills say, we got to move away from Taron Johnson. They would love to play this game in nickel and still play the game the way they want to play it. There could be other things that they do. They don't, you know, I've been thinking about this today. We've been so focused on the Taron Johnson conundrum, and rightly so. And I do think it is something the Bills will have to make adjustments for, and they'll probably play a little bit more base defense than they normally do in certain situations. But there are other things the Bills can do with their defensive line. They can get bigger on the defensive line. They have certain bodies they can put next to each other. You know, Ed Oliver's an undersized guy, right? You have guys that you can put on the field a little bit differently. You can run blitzes. There are ways to do things other than, you can bring a safety down a little bit. You can do it by population, not just by size. And I think maybe we're losing a little bit of sight of that.
How different, really? I mean, obviously, when you get granular, it's different. But if you flip to the Bills having the ball, this is one thing I brought up in my conversation with the Baltimore guys today, is the Bills are playing big, too. And, Sal, you've talked a lot about how not only Alec Anderson being on the field so often, relatively speaking, is an example of that, but how the Bills throw out of that. And I don't know, like, what do you say if we're having this conversation on the other side? Well, Josh Allen, but Cook, and then can they beat me with their receivers or their tight ends? That's where it gets kind of the same, I think, the Bills and and the Ravens when you've got two tight ends who are interesting and, you know, names at receiver, but not like, especially no Flowers, if that's what we get. Nothing too obvious there. So are there shades of this kind of discussion we're having about how the Bills defense should play or what to expect in what will happen when the Bills have the ball?
No doubt. I think the Bills would love to do it the way they did it last week. I mean, they ran for 210 yards last week. And again, that's that word control. I like to say they controlled the game. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They kind of dictated everything that happened. The Broncos had to respond by what the Bills were doing because they just didn't have. And you heard even after the game, Broncos players, maybe Benito or someone had said basically like, well, when you don't get them in passing situations, you can't do what you do best, which is go rush the passer, you know, whatever, in some form that he said that. And that's what the Bills would love to do if they can just make sure they can establish the line of scrimmage and, you know, run the football. I heard your caller earlier who called up, was a very good call, and he said, we've heard McDermott talk about establish the run. And yeah, maybe he's used those terms. What he really talks about is establishing the line of scrimmage is what he talks about. That doesn't have to be done just by running the football. Sean McDermott wants them to establish the line of scrimmage and win there. And that can be done by throwing the football. And we've seen here, you know, that Josh Allen has had one of his most prolific seasons in the NFL with how little he's turned the ball over and still putting up the numbers he's put up. And they're still using him to run the ball and things like that. So, yes, I do feel that way. And I also think that, back to your point, Mike, about personnel usage, I just think Joe Brady has done a really, really good job here this year of putting certain personnel on the field to force you to have to counter that and then say, okay, now we can kind of do a whole bunch of different things out of this. If I put Alec Anderson on the field, you have to counter with bigger people. Well, guess what? You're going to counter with bigger people. I'm going to throw it to my smaller, faster guys, because the bigger people are covering them and they can't do it. And that's been the magic of, I think, the Bills' 30-point-per-game offense this year.
All those hours, 10,000 hours of who is the key man after Josh Allen in this offense. All those received. Claypool, we had a dalliance there with him. MVS. It turns out Alec Anderson was the
it's right.
The key
yeah,
man.
That's right. That's
who
crazy.
Would have known? It know. Makes me feel a little better for not knowing. Like it wasn't someone else that like you could have guessed. You know, like Samuel or somebody like that. Although we do like Samuel right now. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. What's new with injuries?
Nothing new at all for either team. It's the exact same as yesterday. Ray Davis practiced today in a limited capacity. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey as well as a Guardian cap on his helmet. Alec Anderson, the aforementioned Alec Anderson, practiced in a limited capacity with his calf injury. Everybody else practiced in full. And for the Baltimore Ravens.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Second day in a row, Zay Flowers did not practice. I think that is very, very much leaning towards he will not play on Sunday.
Yeah, I know Harbaugh led off the week saying he doesn't need to practice at all to play on Sunday. But and I don't think they'll rule him out definitively before Sunday because Harbaugh was already talking like that. But I'm with you. I'm not expecting him to play. If we're correct in guessing that he won't play, how big a deal is it? Is it enough of a big deal that the Bills could feel more compelled to play more man? They've mixed in more man than maybe years past here down the stretch, but would playing more man against Baltimore without their best receiver sound like a good idea to you?
I would be careful of that because of the Lamar factor, the way we talk about Josh as well. Lamar right. takes off, you're in man-to-man, that really hurts. You know, you need your corners to be able to kind of see what's happening, to be able to come up and attack him. I wouldn't doubt in certain long yardage situations you might want to do something like that, as though. You don't have that one guy there, and maybe you can kind of, you know, force them to kind of have to get rid of the ball a little bit sooner if you play man-to-man and bring some pressure. If it's a long yardage situation, then they have to get it to somebody other than Zay Flowers, and then he has to make somebody miss,
right?
That's kind of what he does. When Zay Flowers on the field, they throw it to him on, you know, third and eight, and he catches it 3 yards. He can get the extra 5 yards on his own. So maybe in those situations that would happen. I do wonder how much that does impact Taron Johnson's usage, because like we said earlier this week, if Zay Flowers is off the field, it might not be another wide receiver. It might not be Tylan Wallace. I'm sure he'll play a little bit. It might not be Steven Sims. It might be more Isaiah Likely. Now you're getting into two tight end sets, and now how do the Bills counter with that?
Back to, I'm looking at a report from Pro Football Network, the Ravens, or the Bills on defense. Mm-hmm. The Bills gave up, this was kind of a theme this year in our conversations, like if you really break down some of the stats, not as bad as it sounds in terms of rush defense, but when you have two running backs on the field, and I don't know how often that would have been where the Bills faced formations with two running backs on the field. This is not Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Ricard, the fullback, mm-hmm. and Henry, or Justice Hill, whoever. The Bills gave up the worst yards per carry in the league when facing formations with two running backs, 5.8. And we're pretty low in success rate. That would stand to reason. So that's coming, right? I mean,
yes.
Whatever discipline the Bills can have and how they sort of man up against the Ravens, there's going to be a lot of that. So one specific way to prepare here and see what you can handle.
And Flowers being out plays into that probably too. Like without him, I could see them going two tight ends or a fullback on the field almost all the time.
All the time.
Right. One or the other, I mean.
Both.
Yeah, or both, sure.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, Justice Hill's a good player, and he can do a lot for them if that's the guy they're going to put on there as well, right? So, yeah, I would expect to see, you know, Ricard. Yeah, he's a really big guy, and you know they want to go. They get to short yardage. It's very tough to defend him. That might be the key guy. You know, you'll have some really interesting ways to kind of see right away. Like if you see Ricard come on the field and then the Bills send Dorian Williams out or something like that, that'll be a tell right away of exactly what the Bills want to do here, right? If you see an extra offensive lineman, like the Bills will hold their guys, and as soon as you see the cards go up and what the personnel is, you see those yellow cards in the sideline that someone holds up, you see someone run on the field, and then you'll see the Bills match personnel. I'm interested to see early on like how the Bills do that. Doesn't mean he can't change if things are going a certain way, but yeah, I definitely think you'll see some of that.
I want to ask you a question about another point that a caller brought up earlier, but to get to that, Allen and Jackson this year throwing to the perimeter, not over the middle, not to the slot receiver. Jackson 1, Allen 2 in both yards per attempt and expected points added per play on passes to the perimeter. So you have the two best quarterbacks in the league at that this year. A caller brought up Kincaid earlier, Sal, and that's been a cottage industry in here for the last couple of years, is, you know, Kincaid and What's the ceiling? When is it coming? Sneaky Joe texted me to say that the Bills have had 9 different players lead the team in receiving yards for a game this year. He is not one of them.
Wow.
Shavers is. Ty Johnson is.
Shavers.
Knox is.
That's amazing.
But Kincaid is not one of the 9. Do you think there's life in Kincaid? I hate to be redundant with a question like that, but we still have not really had a big game from him.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think that, like, based on the way this offense has gone and based on the targets he's had and the numbers, I don't expect, you know, so much different. I mean, that would have to be, that would have to come from, you know, some real favorable matchup that they see and say, okay. But I will tell you guys that, I mean, like, you know, talking with Baltimore media on some of those spots that I've done, you know, they've said Roquan Smith has not been the best in coverage this year, right? So maybe you get a linebacker, you get a tight end, Kincaid matched up on him. That might be a running back, though. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably be careful of thinking, like, he would be the guy that would lead the team. But all it takes is 1 or 2 catches. See Tyrell Shavers, right? I mean, that's really all it takes right. for one guy to lead the team in receiving yards. I think a lot of that perimeter stats, I'd like to see, I don't know, I'd have to see how much is some of those tunnel screens, right? Do those count as perimeter? Like, the Bills do that a ton. That would have right. to count as a perimeter pass to me, even though it's behind the line of scrimmage, right? So I think there's a lot of nuance that's got to kind of be baked into a lot of that.
Yeah. How much, if at all, are you thinking about the weather and the forecast and how cold it's going to be? I normally don't get too far into it, but... Well, a couple of things are happening for me. One, the fact that the Bills played that perfect game against New England 3 years ago in the wild card round in almost exactly what the forecast sounds like type conditions. So I feel like some confidence that Allen and the Bills, whatever they got to do in this game, whether it's through the air or running, that they've acclimated, they'll be fine. And, you know, Baltimore, yeah, they're not from Miami, but Jackson's never played below 27 degrees at kickoff. Henry, I think, is similar. And so, I don't know, I feel like I want to talk myself into that being an advantage for Buffalo.
But Lamar Jackson actually is from Miami, isn't he?
Sure.
No, I know what you meant, though. I know what you meant. I mean, these guys have players on their roster from all over. They play different colleges. They grew up in different places down right. south, you know, warmer weather. But, okay, so I think about it for 3 different reasons. We'll start small picture and go big picture. Smaller picture, I think about it for me. How am I going to dress?
Right.
Do I need to put bags on my, on my feet before I put them in my boots? You know, how am I going to make sure that I remember that that game against the Patriots? And, supposedly this will be about as cold. So right. that's number one. Number two, the Bills practiced inside today. The Ravens practiced inside. And apparently what they did was they opened all the doors and they blew fans in to make it as cold as possible because their field is frozen over. They can't practice out there. I posted some video of the Bills practicing today, and there are several Bills fans asking me, why don't they practice outside? This game's going to be outside. Well, the answer is because you can't get anything done in conditions like that when you practice as well. I mean, have you been outside lately? Like, yeah, it's great. Like, you want to get guys prepared. Are we not to a point after 7 years here of Josh Allen to know that they can play when it's cold out? I mean, what are we doing, right? You practice inside because you're trying to practice. You're trying to get things done.
Right.
I mean, that's why you do it. You know what would happen if they practice outside today? The ball would be on the ground 20 times. Ooh, that's benefiting nobody, right? Let's do fumble drills all day. That's what you could do. Anyway, I digress. That's one thing I needed to say. I do think about it from a Baltimore standpoint of I really do think there is a lot of questions that maybe get answered right away and there's no big deal about how the Ravens will play in these conditions because these guys have not. And I'm listening to an interview yesterday and I'm hearing Lamar Jackson 2 days ago say about how you can handle Lamar. And he's like, yeah, you know, the heater on the sidelines and staying warm. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he's obviously that's natural, but he's thinking about it. They're talking to him about gloves. I'm not going to wear a glove. I tried that in practice. I think it's got to be in there somewhere. Mentally, you're thinking of how am I going to be prepared for this versus maybe where Josh Allen's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I've done this many times.
This is exactly, right? I'm sorry, Sal. This is exactly where we were 4 years ago. He was talking at the press conference about how he'd never seen snow or something. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Well, in that game, by the way, they scored the fewest points that they've ever scored in any start by Lamar Jackson, regular or postseason. And then today, by the way, I heard an interview with the Ravens special teams coordinator, and he was asked about field conditions. And his answer was, well, when we get out there in pregame, we'll see what the field conditions are like and where what the wind is like and what our spots are. And, you know, it'll be a heated field. No, it won't. Like, you don't know that? Or did you not, like, that kind of surprised me that no. He didn't know that. You know what I mean? Like, so I am thinking that this is something that's going to maybe come into play in some way.
Oh, if I'm the Bills, if I've got a tarp and I have the option to leave it off starting last Tuesday, I'm leaving it off.
Classic move.
I'm hosing the field down so it freezes overnight.
The Steelers at Three Rivers. Right. Hosing the field, just soaking a frozen field in the Houston game, the AFC Championship.
Can I do anything really awful to their sideline? Like, I'm going to mess with everything I can mess with, I think.
Well, do you remember, I think you guys might know, I guess, allegedly, I don't know this for sure, Cleveland, back in the day, they used to slope the third base side line down a little bit when the Yankees came in because Phil Rizzuto was such a great bunter that if he bunted, it would literally go downhill to the third baseman.
I respect it. Sal, thank you. What do we decide, 5:30 tomorrow?
I think that's what it is, yeah. No
okay.
problem, guys.
Talk to you then.
You got it.
All right, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Good stuff from this Pro Football Network, excuse me. The most wins in a span of seven seasons in the Super Bowl era.
Mm-hmm. I know what this is.
Without reaching a Super Bowl, the Bills are one, the Ravens are two.
Right.
And the loser, of course, is guaranteed to, like,
continue.
Lock that in.
Right.
Including, well, actually, what? If the, never mind. if the Ravens win the game, but they lose next week, the Bills would still have the most, and neither will have made it. The loser of this game, historic proportions is how it's put here. Historic downside. Oof. We know, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only the Chiefs have won more games since Allen and Jackson were drafted than the Bills and the Ravens. Bills 83, Ravens 81. 803-0550 for your thoughts on Sunday night. How do the Bills get this done? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.